This is HeartWise, offering practical tips and time-proven guidelines to make your life healthier, happier, and more fulfilling. Today you'll learn simple Bible-based principles for building and maintaining optimum mental and physical health, all while deepening your relationship with your Creator. I'm your HeartWise host, Charles Mills. Have you noticed that when you go to the doctor's office or nearby hospital, the parking lot is always full? The waiting rooms are jammed. Even making an appointment can be a challenge. There's a reason for this. According to a new book, approximately half of the illnesses that claim American lives today are related to what we eat. That's right. We're eating ourselves sick. Not only that, we're making our entire planet sick as well. Here to explain is Amy Lee Goodman, co-author of the book, The Meaty Truth. This new release takes a no-holds-barred look at what we're putting in our mouths, the negative effect it has on the world, and most importantly, the best ways that you and I can make healthy, informed decisions about eating. Just think, if everyone followed the advice in this book, there'd be a lot more places to park at your doctor's office. Amy Lee Goodman, welcome to HeartWise.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Now, right off the bat, your book title, The Meaty Truth, it makes it sound like we're not hearing the truth to begin with. Is that true?
That's correct, Charles. We really have been fed a myth over the years that animal-based products such as meat and dairy are the staple diet that we need to eat, and that's actually not true. Mm. The diet that we do need to eat is more plant-based, and we're seeing health effects and environmental effects from our standard meat and dairy diets.
Now, let me just get something out of the way here. A lot of people will say, well, yeah, okay, you go to a slaughterhouse and it's not pleasant. I've seen the videos. It's awful. It breaks the heart. But how about milking a cow? How about letting a chicken give you an egg? Where's the harm in that?
The harm really comes from how we're producing these animals. You know, everybody will say, oh, my grandparents used to eat this. It's really not bad for you. But the problem is our food production has drastically changed. So the chicken that most Americans eat, which is the most consumed meat in America, lives for only 45 days, and its entire life is spent on an 8.5 by 11 inch piece of paper. That's the space it's allowed. And thousands of chickens are crammed into this space. And because there's nowhere for them to go, the ammonia levels are so high, they're fed fillers and toxins such as arsenic so that they can more readily be able for slaughter. And what people don't realize is all the toxins that these animals are being fed, like ractopamine in pigs to make their meat leaner at the very end, is actually very toxic for us, and the residues show up in our meat products. And it's really not healthy. And when it comes to dairy cows as well, they're milked so much, they're hooked up to machines. It's not like your old McDonald farm where you see the farmer actually milking the cow. They're hooked up to machines day in and day out, and they actually develop a problem called mastitis, which results in pus cells and pus in your milk. And this sounds really gross, but we drink it. We drink or eat the pus in our dairy products, and you can't boil it out or steam it out or cook it out. It's in there. And the USDA knows about it as well.
Now, I was going to say, the government is supposed to be overseeing this. We when we sit down to eat our meal or sit down at a restaurant, we're thinking in our minds, okay, the government, the one that we pay all our money to, all our taxes to, is supposed to be overseeing this and protecting us. Aren't they doing that?
They're supposed to be, but a lot of the government practices today are more supporting corporate practices rather than public health practices. Mm. And it's costing us a lot of money. The government gives about $38 billion in subsidies to factory farming. By comparison, healthier foods such as vegetables and fruits are only given 2% of the funding that government has for subsidizing farming practices. Mm-hmm. And this is resulting in a lot of problems. The animal agribusiness industry costs us $600 billion in healthcare costs every 2 years. $600 billion. Now, to put that in perspective, the tobacco industry only cost us about $400 billion over 5 years. And that's an industry everybody looks to as a health hazard. And yet we have animal business, which is costing us more in healthcare and a shorter amount of time.
Okay, let's again ask a question that a lot of people will want to ask you. You are the author of The Meaty Truth. We're talking with Amy Lee Goodman here. She, along with Shoshana Castle, wrote the book called The Meaty Truth. Old MacDonald lives. There are farms out there where we have cows that are smiling and they're wandering through the pasture, sort of picking flowers and gaily going about their lives. And every once in a while, they're brought in and milked gently with kind and loving hands. The same thing with chickens. They are free to roam wherever they want and they sing to the morning sun, et cetera, et cetera. Is there a difference between that kind of meat and the kind of meat that you were talking about in these factory farms? And if there is a difference, what is it and how is it affecting us, good or bad?
That is a great question. And it is one of the most common questions that we get with the movement from farm to table. The issue is that, yes, grass-fed can be a little bit healthier because cows are being fed their natural diets of grass rather than grain. Grain is extremely unhealthy for cows to eat. But the problem is meat by nature is not good for us. So our bodies are actually anatomically made to better process plants than it is to process meat. And this has been well known in medical literature for over 15 years. A diet high in fat, which is a typical American breakfast of like eggs and sausages, can actually produce inflammation in your body because meat and dairy are acidic and pro-inflammatory. Mm-hmm. So it can produce this inflammation, which takes about 4 to 6 hours for your body to deal with. And at the end of 4 to 6 hours, well, it's time for lunch and it happens over again. And you keep producing this injury to your arteries and to your body. And over time, it produces this low-grade inflammation, which can turn into a lot of the leading chronic conditions that we're seeing today, from heart disease to cancer to type 2 diabetes. 4 out of the 10 leading causes of disease today are all related to our diet and lifestyle. In fact, 70% of the chronic diseases in America are all due to lifestyle and diet.
Okay, so what I hear you saying here is that whether the cow we're eating was a smiling cow on a beautiful pasture or a frowning cow in pain in a factory farm, the meat itself is where we are going to suffer, even though we eat it from two different places. Because I have a lot of people saying, well, mine is not factory farm, mine is pasture grown and free range. We still have a problem, I hear you saying, right?
That's correct. There is actually studies that have been done that, you know, a mere 3-ounce steak can increase your risk of dying by about 13%. It really has nothing to do with the type of meat that you're eating. Okay. Yes, some grass-fed meat might have less toxins in it, and that's just added abuse to your body. Yes. But at the end of the day, eating meat and drinking dairy products are actually not how we're designed. Our bodies are not made the same way as carnivores are. We have amylase, which is an amino acid, that is used to break down carbohydrates. And carnivores don't have that. Carnivores also have a very short digestive tract, so meat doesn't sit in their colon. Mm-hmm. We have a very long digestive tract, and that's why meat can actually sit in our colon. And there's a very strong correlation between meat consumption and colon cancer. Mm-hmm. And I think the important difference for people to realize is that about 100 years ago, we weren't seeing the same level of chronic diseases as we are today. And that's because in the 1900s, 70% of the protein in Americans' diet came from plants. Mm-hmm. Today, 70% of protein comes from animals and their diets. We've completely switched the way that we're eating, and this is directly attributable to the amount of chronic diseases that we're seeing in society today.
Wow. We're talking with Amy Lee Goodman. She is the co-author, along with Shoshana Castle, of the book The Meaty Truth. And by the way, they also wrote a book a couple of years back called Rethink Food. And I have, believe it or not, read that book all the way through and then parts of it again, because it has so many good items in there. So Rethink Food and The Meaty Truth, these are marvelous books for you to read, listener, and I recommend that you do so. Now, at the beginning of the program, you identified some rather nasty stuff that is in our milk. When we come back, listener, be ready. I want to ask Amy Lee Goodman, what other material is in our meat that we may not want to be putting into our mouths? And you won't believe what it is. So everybody stay right where you are.
Is marijuana a good idea for you? I'm Dr. James Markham. A recent college student in Colorado ate some edible marijuana in a cookie. He ate one, didn't bother him at all. No effect. He ate six. He became irrational, jumped off his balcony, and died. Well, marijuana comes in different forms, from cookies to gummy bears to inhalational agents. Well, how can marijuana hurt you? Affects your memory, affects your movement, lowers your IQ, 9% become addicted, and this year alone, 12% of those over 12 will use marijuana. Is marijuana good for you? The answer is no. Look at the evidence. For more about marijuana, read my blog at heartwiseministries.org.
Did you know that last year in the United States, over 4 billion prescriptions were written? Prescription medications seem to be the most popular treatments these days. But what can we do if we want to limit our exposure to prescription medications? At Heartwise, we recognize the importance of nutrition in treating and prevention of disease. Dr. Hippocrates stated, "Let food be thy medicine." Many evidence-based studies support a whole food, plant-based diet. But how is this achieved in the fast-paced world we live in today? We want to encourage those interested in this type of treatment to watch the documentary film Plant Pure Nation and visit the website plantpurenation.com. This is a great first step towards helping yourself move towards better health and helping make the world a better place. Visit plantpurenation.com to start your journey today. That's plantpurenation.com.
Welcome back to the program. I'm your host, Charles Mills. Our guest today is Amy Lee Goodman. She is the co-author, along with Shoshana Castle, of a new book called The Meaty Truth. And they are also authors of a book called Rethink Food. And if you'd like more information about both of these books and about these ladies, you can get that at rethinkfoodbook.com. More information there and lots of good resources that you will enjoy. Okay, before the break, I mentioned that there is something in a lot of the meat we eat that we may be surprised to learn that it's there. We think the government is supposed to be helping us. We think the government is supposed to be overseeing all of this, but enough of this material gets through that it becomes a factor in our health. Amy Lee, I almost hate to say it, but what is it that is in our food that we need to know about?
Well, one of the more disgusting ingredients, should we say, is actually feces or animal manure. And this is definitely not a sexy topic that people love to discuss, but it actually kills 1 in 6 Americans.
My.
And it's a really big problem. In fact, a new consumer studies report found that 97% of chicken sold in grocery stores is actually contaminated with salmonella. Mm. And we all joke about salmonella, when you eat raw cookie dough, but it's actually really dangerous. And it's affecting a lot of Americans. Salmonella is just a scientific term for animal manure.
Oh.
And the reason that it's getting on all of your products is because in the slaughterhouse, about 90 chickens are processed per minute.
Oh.
Think about that. Oh. 90 chickens per minute, or one cow every 12 seconds. there is no time to wipe the manure down from these cows or these animals when they come in from the factory farming, where they're pushed so close together that they do end up letting themselves go on each other and on themselves. So they come into the slaughterhouses covered in feces, and it's actually getting into our packaged food products. A really interesting study by the University of Arizona found that in a household where they eat meat and dairy, the toilet bowl is actually cleaner than the kitchen sink. That's how much feces is on the meat. It's really gross.
I guess it is.
And this has been brought up before Congress, and industry representatives have actually said that it's too expensive to sell meat that's not tainted with salmonella. Too expensive. We find that really hard to believe.
Yes.
In the UK, they've actually made salmonella on meat illegal. And ever since they passed that law, they have drastically reduced the amount of salmonella that's found, and the number of people that are dying from this disease has dramatically reduced as well. So it's really interesting that the government is knowingly allowing this so-called ingredient into your food.
And how much did you say the government is spending, or our country is spending, on health care issues of people who eat this stuff?
We spend over $600 billion in health care costs.
Now, here's a thought. Why don't we take the $600 billion and give it to the farmers and the slaughterhouses to clean up their act?
Right. There's definitely enough money to go around to actually cure this problem. The chicken industry is failing business model. The government had to bail them out. Most recently in 2011, they paid over $40 million just to bail them out and buy up chicken to store in warehouses. So we have actually an overproduction of this meat, which means that they can actually spend the time to implement better practices.
Oh my. Well, I know that when I read the book, The Meaty Truth, I got a little upset, and I'm a little upset right now just talking about it, because it just seems to me that something is amiss here, and we are being poisoned, and we are being fed fecal matter and pus, and no one is doing anything about it. But now, before I get too mad, there is something we can do about it. And that is a message in the book as well, The Meaty Truth. Amy Lee Goodman, co-author, what can we do about the problem of meat in our lives?
Well, there's actually a couple of things that we can do, and we list them throughout the book. So we have action items at the end of each chapter. And then we have a chapter at the end that really talks about next steps. You know, a lot of people, when they hear all this information, it's really hard to think about, what do I do next? And the first part is really eating less meat and dairy. It's a little obvious, but that's the first step, is cutting down. And you can make dramatic changes in not only your health, but also the environment by eating less meat. So if all of America ate 44% less meat, we would be able to save 172,000 lives per year.
Human lives, right?
Yes, human lives. We would also save $26 billion in Medicare and Medicaid costs, and we would save in fossil fuels. And it's really astounding just how much we can do by making small changes. You know, if a family of four ate one less hamburger a week, that's the equivalent of taking the car off the road for 320 miles.
Oh my.
So it all starts with really small changes to your diet. You know, it starts with implementing, we call them meatless Mondays, which have kind of swept across America, but really focusing on making one day a meatless day and kind of going down from there. And we also do encourage people to switch from factory farming to grass-fed if they can't go cold turkey. Mm-hmm. It is a better way. And it also doesn't support these big corporate practices that are poisoning our bodies and are poisoning the environment.
I like that, Amy Lee. You're telling people here to start taking steps. You don't have to make the giant leap right now if you don't want to, but start taking steps, cutting back, having a meatless Monday, and realizing the actual cost of that hamburger or that chicken or that steak. That is a cost beyond measure for our planet, for our health, for our family, for our future. It is pretty incredible. And the good news is that we can start making those changes today. And when we sit down to a meal that is mostly or all plants, none of those things are on our shoulders. None of them. None of the planet-destroying elements of meat production. None of the health-destroying elements of meat eating. They are gone from us. And I got to say, you know, I've been vegetarian for most of my life and plant-based for the last 15 years. When I sit down to eat, I can sit down with a clear conscience. I guess I can say it that way. I can sit down and realize that no knowing animal, no smiling chicken, no mooing cow, no creature of God has been destroyed for me to enjoy that meal. And that makes me feel pretty good. Do you do the same thing too, Amy Lee?
I do. I feel wonderful about it. And really, it's really a great feeling to know that when you sit down to eat, nothing is being harmed. And that's the way it really should be. I don't believe that, you know, we should be able to inflict cruelty to have a meal. And that's a lot of the way that we're living right now. And I think most Americans, if they learned the truth about what they were eating, they would feel the same way. The head of the USDA for food safety, Elizabeth Kagan, actually said that, to be honest, most Americans have no idea how their food is produced. Mm-hmm. And if they knew, I feel that they, you know, and they also had to face how their food was made and, you know, the animal behind it, they also would make some changes. Mm-hmm. And you feel so much better, too. You really do feel amazing when you cut all of that stuff out of your diet.
Well, it's just win-win across the board, and I really appreciate the message of this book. The book is called The Meaty Truth, The Meaty Truth, and also a companion book that they've written a few years back called Rethink Food. Both of these are powerful releases to help us make those decisions and to motivate us along the way and give us the information we need. I think that's the most important thing that they provide, is that is information and motivation, but information as well. Because if we are informed, we can know what we need to do to be healthy and to keep our families healthy. Amy Lee Goodman and Shoshana Castle are the authors, and the book is available. Both books are available at www.rethinkfoodbook.com. Rethinkfoodbook.com. Amy Lee Goodman, thank you so much for being with us today. Appreciate your words of wisdom. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And listener, until next time, this is Charles Mills along with Amy Lee Goodman, inviting you to remain heartwise. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for joining us today on HeartWise. If you'd like more information on how to build and maintain optimum physical, mental, and spiritual health, log on to heartwiseministries.org. HeartWise is a listener-supported program, and your partnership with us would be greatly appreciated. Once again, our web address is heartwiseministries.org.